This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. Reduce, reuse, recycle. We've been hearing that mantra for years, but have you ever thought about what that means when it comes to water? Cities have been thinking about it for years. Water departments across the U.S., from Idaho to California to Florida, already treat and reuse wastewater for things like irrigating crops and watering golf courses. But climate change is making water even more of a precious resource, especially out west. Droughts in the western U.S. have sunk two crucial water sources, Lake Mead and Lake Powell, to historic lows. The U.S. declared its first ever western water shortage this year. Crops and golf courses are one thing, but with climate change in play and water resources dwindling, some experts say we need to recycle wastewater and drink it. So what does it take to make water that clean? And how are they getting past the ick factor? Joining us from San Francisco is Nusha Ajami. She's the Director of Urban Water Policy at Stanford University. Nusha, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And with us from San Diego is Amy Dorman. She's Deputy Director for the city's Pure Water Operations. Amy, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Nusha, what exactly do we mean when we say wastewater recycling?
Basically, taking the wastewater and it depends on what quality you're looking for, but if we want it for a drinkable quality, pushing it through a membrane that would clean it up to the highest quality and takes all the waste and pollutants out of it. Often people think about they like to talk about desalination. I would always say the same technology that we use for desalination process, we use for wastewater treatment and recycling. So the water that comes out, it's drinkable and high quality often.
How does recycling wastewater help solve the climate-fueled water problems we're facing?
Look, the majority of the water that we use every day doesn't need to be the highest quality. We have this very old system that we built in the 20th century. It's a once-through system. The water comes into our cities. We use it once and then discard it. Often people don't think about where their water is coming from and where it's going. This is a very inefficient system. If you think about our homes, for example, we flush down the drinkable water down the toilets, or we used drinkable water quality for washing our cars or watering our lawns. So the system we have is quite inefficient. It worked, but now that we are dealing with various stressors that you just mentioned, from climate change, droughts, and water shortages, we actually have to rethink this process. So when we talk about recycling water, the water can go to the wastewater treatment plants and then be recycled and then put back into the pipes to come back to homes for various purposes. Or it can actually happen on site in the building, and the water can be captured in different parts, for example, in your shower water, your sink water, and then treated minorly and then used for flushing toilets or watering lawns.
When we talk about wastewater, we're talking about capturing the wastewater from all of the sources that we use, including the toilet?
Depends which wastewater are we talking about. If you're talking about doing it in a centralized way, which some of the cities are considering, or a lot of these systems that are set up already doing this, all the wastewater that comes to the wastewater treatment plants will be captured, treated to the highest quality, and then reused. Currently, most of this water goes through PERPER pipes, which basically is a separate pipe parallel to existing pipes that we have, and takes this water for alternative purposes. For example, as I said, flushing toilets, or water, using it in the industrial activities, or watering outdoor spaces. If it's done on site and in the building, then we have, which is mostly called gray water reuse, we can mostly capture the water from sources that are very clean, for example, sink water, shower water, and treat it in a minor way and then reuse it for other purposes. The home or on-site reuse systems, which I just mentioned, and actually in San Francisco we do it, can also capture black water, which is your toilet water, but often that's not what we do with the gray water. It's mostly captured from the sources that are not toilet water.
Well, we got this astute message from Margaret in St. Louis.
St. Louis is on the Mississippi River, and by the time the river gets to us, it is already recycled quite a bit of wastewater. So a lot of the wastewater that we get from upstream isn't particularly clean either. So, of course, we process it before it becomes drinking water. But if anybody wants to say, oh, I'm not going to drink any wastewater type stuff, you already are.
Nusha, most people actually already encounter recycled wastewater pretty often because of the way our water systems are all connected. Can you briefly explain a little bit more of that for us?
Absolutely. That's a great point that just brought we just heard from the listener. So basically, every water, the cities, as I mentioned, they take the water out of the water source, river, reservoir, groundwater basin. They take it, they treat it and purify it, and then put it in the pipelines and comes to our homes. After we use that water goes to the wastewater treatment plant, treated to the highest quality, put back in the source. A river, a lake, a groundwater basin. And then that water, again, gets picked up by a city downstream, treated again. So all of us are connected through this water in so many different ways. And everybody who's a downstream from another city is already drinking recycled water. The water that's in your pipes are treated multiple times before it makes it to your home. So that water is quite clean and high quality. But if you think you're not drinking recycled water, you should think twice. Another thing is we are actually, nature recycles water over and over again. It's a never-ending cycle. All we are doing by doing recycling with our engineered system is shrinking the time and the space that this process happens. Mm-hmm. We take it in, do it quickly, and then reuse it the same place it is. So it is not an uncommon practice, mm-hmm. I would say.
Well, San Diego already treats and recycles wastewater for non-potable uses, but this year the city broke ground on a new program that will take its water recycling program even further.
We know now that pure water will provide nearly half of San Diego's drinking water supply by the year 2035.
That was San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria speaking in August. Amy, what's the motivation for treating wastewater so that it's clean enough for drinking purposes?
Well, San Diego is in a unique position. We are at the end of the line. We receive the majority of our water comes from outside the region. We receive water from both the Colorado system and Northern California. And we have such a heavy dependence on this simply because our local supplies from rainfall simply can't keep up. Over the years, we've also seen factors that put into question the long-term reliability of those outside sources of water, such as recurring drought, which you mentioned earlier. Also, as I mentioned, we're at the end of the line, and it requires hundreds and hundreds of miles of aqueducts to deliver our water. And not only that, but also a lot of pumping. So there's a lot of energy required to deliver water to San Diego. And so in the past few decades, the city has really realized and embraced the fact, like so many other agencies in the Southwest, that we really have to do something more. We need to develop local water supplies to reduce that dependence on imported water, not only because of the reliability issues, but also the cost has more than tripled in the last 20 years. So it just makes sense to diversify our supply portfolio and look more local for sustainable drought-proof sources.
Amy, can you really quickly talk us through the purification process to get that water to a drinkable quality?
Sure. Just wanted to also mention that there's a great deal of treatment that precedes that five-step treatment process. So Nusha spoke about the purple pipe water that is supplied to irrigation customers. They use it for non-drinking purposes. So the raw wastewater that's collected from our homes and businesses, that goes through a reclamation process that removes most contaminants that are regulated for drinking water standards. And our process happens to remove everything to acceptable levels, except for a handful of constituents, like less than 10. But still, it's not safe for drinking. And that water is actually the starting point that enters the five-step purification process. So there's a lot of treatment involved. And step one is referred to as ozonation. So here we infuse ozone gas into the water. Ozone happens to be a really powerful oxidant. And what it does is it breaks down organic contaminants in the water.
Amy, let's pause on point one because we've got four more steps to get through and we got to go to a break. But we will pick up with Amy after the break. We're talking to Amy Dorman. She's Deputy Director of the City of San Diego's Pure Water Operations. Also with us, Nusha Ajami. She's the Director of Urban Water Policy at Stanford University. We also want to hear from you. What questions do you have about recycling wastewater? Kat tweeted, I hope your guests will touch on Singapore's experience with recycling wastewater into drinking water, has done so for years and dealt with the ick factor. Hint, it takes time. You can comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A, or send us an email at 1A@WAMU.org. Back with more in a moment. I'm Jen White. This is 1A from WAMU and NPR. I'm Jen White. This is 1A. We're discussing recycling wastewater with Nusha Ajami. She's the Director of Urban Water Policy at Stanford University. Also with us is Amy Dorman. She's Deputy Director of the City of San Diego's Pure Water Operations. And Amy, you were walking us through the five-step process this water goes through after initial treatment, and you mentioned ozonation. Explain just very briefly what that is.
We use ozone gas and infuse it in the water. And because it's a powerful oxidant, it's able to break up a lot of the contaminants and organic matter that's in the water at that point.
Now, the second step is biological filtration. Explain that.
Here, we utilize bacteria that are actually helpful. These bacteria are able to consume that organic matter that was broken down in the previous ozonation step.
Now, next, it goes through membrane filtration. Explain that process.
Sure. So these membranes are straw-like hollow membranes. The walls of the membranes have tiny, tiny pores that are actually hundreds of times smaller than a strand of human hair. So the pores don't allow contaminants to pass through to the center of the membrane. So they're able to trap out and keep out bacteria, protozoa, other contaminants. So the filtered water is all that makes it to the center of the straw and on to the next step,
which is reverse osmosis. And what happens there?
Yes, this is the real workhouse of the process. These are sheet-like membranes. They also have pores. You can't see them, however, except with the most powerful microscope. And so the reverse osmosis membranes are able to remove 99.99% of anything that happens to be in the water by the time it reaches RO.
Now, the final step is UV light and advanced oxidation. And what is that step used for?
So the UV light, we apply that at a really high intensity, and this inactivates viruses. We also add a chemical, sodium hypochlorite, and combined with the UV light, this sets off a chain reaction. We refer to it as advanced oxidation. So this is able to break up any chemical chain or contaminant that somehow got through the previous four steps.
Now, is the water safe to drink at that point?
Absolutely. So we've been running a test facility since the middle of 2011, and we've sampled the heck out of the water. We've collected over 50,000 samples, had them analyzed at labs, and the water is pristine. It's similar to distilled water.
Now, how much potable water will the San Diego Pure Water Program produce?
So we are planning to produce over 80 million gallons a day of this purified water. And based on our water demand projections, this will serve over half of our water need by the year 2035.
Well, I want to bring another voice into the conversation. Joining us now is Patricia Sinacropi. She's the executive director of the Water Reuse Association. That's a trade organization advocating for more water recycling. Pat, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
What do you think are the biggest misconceptions people have about recycling wastewater?
Well, I'd say the biggest misconceptions are that you can't clean it to safety standards, such that it's safe to drink. I think we're overcoming that misconception, certainly in the West, where recycling is becoming more and more of a need to meet potable drinking water supply needs for the region. And I think we are slowly overcoming that misconception, even in the eastern part of the country, where water tends to be more plentiful.
Nusha, your thoughts? What are some of the big misconceptions you've bumped up against?
I think Pat was absolutely correct. People really don't understand what happens when water comes out of their tap. They really are disconnected from their water supplies, so they really don't know what it takes to bring that water to them, what different steps, like I really appreciated Amy walking us through all those steps, what it takes for water to be brought on up to the quality that can be drinkable. And I think that really, as soon as they hear recycled water, they think, it's probably not as clean. But as you mentioned earlier, every water that we drink is recycled. Through the water cycle, or actually, depending on where we live, someone in upstream has cleaned it and put it back, and we take it off and use it. So it is something it's more in our head rather than in actuality having any problems.
Amy, San Diego's Pure Water Program just broke ground. What's the cost and the expected timeline for the project?
So we are projecting to have our facilities online in the middle of 2025 to be producing 30 million gallons a day of purified water. The total construction cost for that is just a little over $1 billion.
Now, Nusha, it's important to note that many different places may rely on the same bodies of water, especially in the West. How does that affect what cities have to do with wastewater they recycle?
Yeah, so actually the recycling definitely is impacting the way we go through our infrastructure process or how water moves through the system. Basically, as we start recycling more water, the wastewater is going to become much more concentrated, which means then we have to think about what we need to do to process that higher concentrated wastewater before we can release it to the environment. And also, after the recycling, as Amy walked us through it, we'll have an effluent, a brine that needs to be dealt with, which is a leftover of that process. And we are still trying to figure out how that needs to be discarded in an environmentally thoughtful manner. And that's also a process that we have to think about. One other thing I want to mention here is it's important for people to realize recycling can happen in so many different scales, as I mentioned at the top of the hour. This San Diego is doing a centralized system, which is absolutely fantastic and it's great. But also recycling can happen at a neighborhood scale, at a building scale, at campus scale. So, and those are all going to change the flow of water into the wastewater treatment plants. It's very similar to people putting solar panels on their roofs. So we have to consider how this system as a whole is changing, as well as how we can actually build more centralized systems to recycle our entire wastewater.
Well, here's an email we got from Michael who says, as someone who worked in waste, in water and wastewater for years, I know how amazing the water reuse technology is and see how it is needed for the future. The one place where I totally empathize with regulators is that it only takes one mistake for drinking water to make lots of people sick. I love the loosening of regulation for toilet tanks and other drinking limited venues. Pat, how much is that a barrier to moving further in this direction towards recycling wastewater, that fear around one mistake making people sick?
Sure. Well, that is obviously always a concern, and one mistaken process can really sour people to the entire process. But I would say I would back up a minute and provide this context. We now have technology that can clean any source of water, any degree of contaminated water, really to any level of purity that is required for the beneficial use that you need to use water for. So in other words, if you need water for an industrial purpose that doesn't necessarily require the water to be clean to drinking water standards, technology is there to allow us to do that. Cleaning water further to purification standards, the technology, thankfully, now is sophisticated enough, and treatment systems are sophisticated enough to allow us to pretty much guarantee that the water that treatment system is producing will be at the standard of safe drinking water. These systems are highly reliable, and there are monitoring systems, real-time monitoring systems in place to guarantee that the produced water is of the quality that you need it to be for the application that you're requiring it.
Well, let's go to this message we received from Richard.
I have been a water and wastewater engineer most of my career. We ran a 10-year test for some government agency in which we had to produce drinkable wastewater for 10 years, and we did, and each of us who visited the facility were required to take a drink.
Amy, have you tasted the super clean water for the Pure Water Project?
I most certainly have.
And what did it taste like?
The first time I tasted it, it tasted like there was no taste. Yeah, so we do offer tastings. We provide tours of our test facility, and the majority of people who come through there decide they want to taste the water, and they do.
That's Amy Dorman. She's the Deputy Director of the City of San Diego's Pure Water Operations. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And sticking with us are Nusha Ajami. She is the Director of Urban Water Policy at Stanford University. And Pat Sinacropi. She's the Executive Director of the Water Reuse Association. I'm Jen White. You're listening to 1A. Nusha, how else can wastewater recycling be a solution to other climate change-fueled water problems?
Sure. Look, I think Pat brought up something very, very important, which sort of connects into that comment I was making about different scale that we can use recycling. Think about the amount of water you use every day and what purpose, which one of them needs to be pure drinkable water. Majority of the water that we use every day, it doesn't need to be drinkable. For example, we use 30% of our water in our homes to flush down our toilets. That's a lot of water. And if we actually end up using or recycling water within our buildings or do gray water reuse, which means that you take the water and use it for outdoor spaces or other things at home, we can actually leave some of that water potentially in the ecosystem to allow that environment to thrive. Right now, we are all competing for the same amount of water, humans and ecosystem and agriculture. Everybody is fighting for that water. And obviously, our sources are shrinking. So it is important to think about how we can become more efficient and take less out of the environment and do more with the water that we take out. And recycling is one way to do that. We are actually in the 21st century is a century of circular economy. We are talking about circular economy all the time. And I think recycling water is at the core of that because we can reduce the amount of water our cities and communities take out of the environment and also reduce the waste that we put back in the environment.
Pat, what other cities or local governments are implementing these kinds of projects outside of those in the Western U.S.?
Oh, there are several cities throughout the Eastern Seaboard are beginning to adopt water reuse practices. Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Maryland, New York City. New York City actually has a very interesting story on their water reuse journey. They have obviously cities in the East and Northeast don't have necessarily a problem with water scarcity. They have an abundant supply of water, but they do have challenges with their sewer systems, old sewer systems that are very leaky, and they are often located on coastal aquifers that are experiencing a lot of stress due to overpumping, population growth, and sea level rise. And so, for example, New York City, with a very leaky sewer system, is looking at decentralized distributed wastewater recycling systems that keep water on site at large facilities. So, for example, New York City is undertaking a large 11-acre redevelopment project in Brooklyn, where the old Domino Sugar factory site was, and they are redeveloping that district for residential, multi-residential apartment buildings, industrial manufacturing complexes, other commercial uses, and they'll use an on-site water recycling system that will reduce the amount of water going to the centralized plant by nearly 90% or more. So this will allow the system, this will allow the city to more efficiently manage water on site and reduce the pressure on their centralized system.
I want to go to this question because we've gotten a few questions like this. Jay Mans tweeted, I've heard that hormones from birth control and excess pharmaceutical compounds we excrete through our waste can't be filtered through the processes described. True or false? Nusha?
What he's referring to are the contaminants of emerging concern. And through the desalination process, yes, they can be taken out. Through the wastewater treatment process, we cannot take them out yet. We are trying to figure out what's the best way to do that. But these are two different things because basically the what I meant by desalination process, this process that Amy actually brought up earlier, which is exactly the same thing, it takes out everything that's in the water. And especially when it's pushed through the membrane in the fourth step, the reverse osmosis process, it basically takes everything out.
So that five-step process Amy described being used in San Diego would remove those pharmaceutical compounds. We're discussing recycling all that water we flush down the drain with Nusha Ajami. She's the Director of Urban Water Policy at Stanford University. And Pat Sinacropi, she's the Executive Director of the Water Reuse Association. And we also want to hear from you. What questions do you have about recycling water? You can comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A, or send us an email at 1A@WAMU.org. I'm Jen White. We'll hear more from you and our guests in a moment. Now let's get back to discussing how we reuse and recycle our wastewater. Bob left us a message about recycled water he drinks, and it sounds promising.
Hello, I'm Bob from Sandy, Utah. We have a recycling plant that contributes to our water supply in the local water district. The recycling plant takes wastewater. I'm not sure how it's blended. It may be blended with some storm water or other things. At any rate, that in turn would be blended with other water from that the district gets from reservoirs and water wells. The only thing I can say about that further is no floaters so far.
Bob, thanks for that message. Still with us, Arnusha Ajami. She's the Director of Urban Water Policy at Stanford University. And Pat Sinacropi, the Executive Director of the Water Reuse Association. We also got this tweet from Mary, who says, Norman, Oklahoma is currently releasing reclaimed water into the local Canadian River. It is cleaner than our major water source, Lake Thunderbird. We are considering augmenting lake levels with cleaned, reclaimed water. Pat, I wanted to return to this question of how wastewater recycling can be a solution to other climate change-fueled water problems. And I'm thinking specifically of the region of Hampton Roads, Virginia. How are they using recycled water?
Well, Hampton Roads is doing a very novel project in the region. They have many, many challenges all related to water. They are located at the end of the Chesapeake Bay watershed, so they have nutrient-related pollution challenges in their surface water. They are at the most vulnerable point in the in North America Eastern Seaboard for sea level rise, and they are experiencing land subsidence due to overpumping of their groundwater aquifer, the Potomac Aquifer. And so the solution that they're turning to is water reuse, water recycling. And what Hampton Roads Sanitation District is doing, the project is known as SWIFT, Sustainable Water Infrastructure for the Future. They are treating their wastewater almost to potable water standards and injecting it into their underground aquifer. And what they're doing, and as I said earlier, technology is at the point where we can match the chemistry of the water to that of the underground aquifers. And that's what Hampton Roads is doing. So it's producing water that is of this exact same quality that is the water contained in the underground water basins, and reinjecting that water into the aquifer so that it will eventually, once the project is fully online, help to bolster the underground water, the underground aquifer. What this will do is create a freshwater barrier to prevent saltwater intrusion, to prevent further erosion from rising sea levels. And what I like to say about that project is that we're using water to fight water. And we're seeing, due to climate change, all along the eastern seaboard, as I mentioned before, and even along other coastal areas of the country, the Great Lakes, California coast, North Pacific Northwest, we're seeing these problems occur where sea levels are rising, aquifers are being depleted because we've been overpumping them for our potable water supplies. And it's causing a lot of erosion, land subsidence. It's making flooding issues along the coast worse. And so we have a great solution here with water recycling, because we can now, again, clean water to a point where we can inject it back into those aquifers and help address and confront some of these really tough climate-related troubles that many of our communities are struggling to deal with.
Well, when have you shared this idea for recycling more water at the household level?
Hello, this is Peter calling from Eugene, Oregon, about a topic that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the consumption and conservation of water. And sometimes a problem is solved by one little increment at a time. One of the increments I would suggest is that we start plumbing our houses so that gray water, water that we're using for laundry or washing dishes or taking showers, get routed to our toilet tanks so that we're not flushing brand new good drinking water every time we use the toilet, but water that's already been used once and thus save some water. Okay, thank you, and hope we solve this one. This is a big one.
Peter, thanks for that message. We also got this email from Joe who says, has anyone figured out how to redirect shower water, sink water, and laundry dishwater to an in-house reserve to use in the toilet to outdoor watering? Nusha, what do we know? Has this been solved?
That's actually a great question, very dear, near to my heart. I think we definitely need to rethink about how we do plumbing in our buildings and in our cities. And I think what we are suffering from right now is this, old plumbing process that we have, and we are sort of sticking with it. All these ideas that were mentioned are doable. We actually, in San Francisco, as I said, we are requiring buildings that are larger than 100,000 square foot to install on-site reuse systems, which means that they capture water from various sources within the building and recycle it and reuse it for flushing toilets and using it out in the outdoor spaces. As I mentioned earlier, we use about, just thinking about percentages, about 30% of our water in our bathrooms, excluding toilets, and 30% for flushing down toilets. Just think about that. Like, if we connect those two, we can reduce our water use by 30%. That's a significant amount of water that can be reused. There are some communities that are also looking into gray water reuse or promoting gray water reuse, which is the, taking water out of your laundry and using it for outdoor spaces. Some of that doesn't even require treatment. excuse me. And then you have other opportunities to use it for cooling. And, we use water in our buildings for so many different purposes. So and majority of those don't need drinkable water. So this concept of recycling and reusing within a building or within a neighborhood definitely has a lot to offer, and we should definitely embrace it. One thing that you often hear is it is very difficult to replumb our cities. And I would say we are doing that with energy. We are reimagining our energy grid. We are embracing that every day now. We actually have to do the same thing with our water system and the way we distribute water within our building and within our cities. And that opportunity is there.
Hmm. Pat, how feasible is it to scale this down to just the household level, very briefly?
Technically we have the technology to do it. Systemically it's difficult. It's a challenge. As Nusha mentioned, we have to replumb the system in order to enable residential scale water reuse. In some cities, in new development areas where it's more feasible, where you're starting with a clean slate and you're drawing up plumbing codes from scratch. In cities that are already built out, we'll need to do a substantial amount of rewriting of plumbing codes and replumbing and retrofitting. And that is costly. It probably won't. It's not something that we can scale up very quickly. But as Nusha mentioned, we have to ask ourselves where we want to be in another 50 to 100 years. What do we want our cities to look like? What do we want our water management systems to look like? So, by taking the long term view, I think many cities will consider residential scale recycling. It's not for everyone. It's not for every system, but it's certainly going to be an important element of many systems.
We're talking to Pat Sinacropi. She's the executive director of the Water Reuse Association, and Nusha Ajami. She's the director of urban water policy at Stanford University. I'm Jen White. You're listening to 1A. Pat, very quickly, I just want to touch on what some of the industries are that might benefit from wastewater recycling.
Well, there are a whole host of industries that are benefiting from water reuse. Power sector requires a lot of water for processing and cooling of power plants. Many facilities already in the power sector are adopting water recycling practices to cool their power plants. Data centers, a great fact that I love to use in talks I give is 70% of the world's internet traffic runs through Loudoun County, Virginia, through Data Center Alley. Those data centers are all cooled by reclaimed water. You don't need drinking water quality water to cool facilities. It's a perfect use of recycled water that is cleaned just enough to for safety standards to cool those buildings. Food and beverage uses reclaimed water for processes. Oil and gas. Agriculture. There are a number of industries that are turning to water recycling for their water needs.
Let's go to this tweet from Morgan, who says, "Why haven't we been doing this? I mean, technically, there's no such thing as virgin water unless you chemically make it." And Nusha, I'm thinking back to the comment we got from Kat, who mentioned Singapore's experience with recycling wastewater and says that, you know, that issue of the ick factor, that it just took time. Is that part of what's at play around why we haven't been doing this, or is it more of an issue of technology?
It's not an issue of technology. It's more, need, right? So, for example, Singapore is doing this because they are... the water security is a huge issue for them, and they have been addressing this issue head on, and they have been recycling water for a long time. And, for us, for example, as you can see, Western U.S. is embracing recycling a little bit faster than Eastern U.S. just because we are, dealing with water scarcity and these continuous, frequent, hotter droughts that are keep coming back. So it's, yes, there have been some missteps in a sense that people sometimes, the way you promote these ideas sometimes can impact the way people think about their water supplies, and that ick factor can definitely be a hinder to promote this process, this kind of infrastructure. But the reality is, we actually have to embrace water recycling if we want to have a sustainable and resilient future, regardless of which part of this country we live in or where we live around the world. One thing that is extremely important when we are thinking about recycling and reuse is to remember that every day we are building a city as big as Manhattan. And that is an opportunity that's lost if we are not rethinking the way we do plumbing in our cities. We absolutely have to rethink about the way we build the cities for the future, as Pat mentioned, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, how we wanted to make it happen. And we actually should be a little bit more forward-looking when we are thinking about this, and reimagine our water infrastructure system today.
We've gotten a couple of questions about funding options. And Pat, we've just got a minute left here, but the infrastructure bill that passed last month allocates money for these kinds of projects. What does it include?
The infrastructure bill includes $1 billion specifically targeted for water recycling projects. So we're very fortunate to get that money funded. It's an important source of money. It's money that the Bureau of Reclamation will use for projects, recycling projects in the West.
And what about the Build Back Better bill, which hasn't yet passed the Senate? Is there additional money in there?
Yeah, there is, and we're excited about that. And the Build Back Better plan, the Build Back Better bill establishes the first national grant program focused on water recycling. It's about $125 million. And that program will be available for communities in the East and in the West. So money is coming specifically to incentivize more water recycling throughout the country.
That's Pat Sinacropi. She's the Executive Director of the Water Reuse Association. Pat, thanks for speaking with us.
Oh, sure thing. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Also with us today, Nusha Ajami. She's the Director of Urban Water Policy at Stanford University. Nusha, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. It was
a reminder to subscribe to the 1A podcast. It's where you'll find our best guests and stories every day. Today's producer was Amanda Williams. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk more soon. This is 1A.